Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, February 21st, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Sitka High and Mount Edgecombe students captured several titles at the State Drama Debate and Forensics Meet in Anchorage last weekend. For Sitka, it was a chance for last year's underclassmen to move into the limelight following the graduation of a strong senior team. For Mount Edgecombe, it was the first taste of victory for a growing program. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The State Drama Debate and Forensics Meet takes over the University of Alaska Anchorage campus for the entire weekend. Nearly 30 schools participate. They send hundreds of kids to compete.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like the Oscars.
Donovan Gurley is a senior at Mount Edgecombe High School. He helped carry his team to a second-place finish in the small school's forensics sweepstakes by reaching the finals with a solo acting piece called Lloyd's Prayer.
Me, I was a preacher. A black preacher, and I did a duo interp, which was a married couple piece, and I did a reader's theater with Doug, which was Piggy Pie, which is a children's story.
It's about just a dysfunctional newscast room, and I play an anchor with a really ditzy female co-anchor.
This is Gurley's teammate, Doug McClenahan.
And we try to watch all of our pieces on a screen, but we don't have video clips of them, so we have to act them out.
Newscast Live also reached the state finals in small schools, as did McClenahan's dramatic interpretation of Flowers for Algernon, which took second. Sitka High senior Jesse Bartels also competed in dramatic interpretation with a piece about Judy Garland. Many students find their way into drama competition with lighter pieces. Bartels says DI offers an actor room to work.
You can either be very sad with it or just plain dramatic. It offers a lot of variety in what you can do with the piece.
Bartels teamed up with Michael Booz to take a state championship in duet acting. Their performance has been honed in monthly regional meets with hours of practice time on top of that. She's earned the right to reflect on what has been a long road to the top.
I remember the first time me and Michael sat down in my house and read over our duet, and that was like months ago, and it's crazy now to think, wow, I'm never going to perform those again, but all's well that ends well, really.
Her partner, Boos, also tackled a solo performance, selecting a piece that he hoped would give him an edge.
So my solo was basically an actor forgetting his lines, which is a hilarious piece. I basically get to stand in front of a judge and just say or which is really handy when you're first learning it, because then if you actually forget a line, you can just say or until you remember it, and it still works with the piece.
Sitka High came in third behind Mount Edgecombe in the forensic sweepstakes, but for the second year in a row won the drama sweepstakes, the debate sweepstakes, and the overall small schools championship. Bartels says it was a chance for the younger performers and speakers from last year's championship team, which won all three sweepstakes in the overall competition, to step out from behind the long shadows of the seniors that dominated the team in 2012. Mount Edgecombe, in the not-too-distant past, dropped DDF, but later reconsidered and restarted the program a few years ago. Donovan Gurley wishes he had gotten into DDF sooner. Just the practice of settling himself may one day be useful if he ever does make it to the Oscars.
Take, like, really deep breaths before you go in. And also, I think, you know, just you have to be prepared mentally, and you can do that with your teammates. And you do, like, little games, like we do games before we go in and stuff, so that... that really helps.
Teammate Doug McClenahan has a similar ritual and the same hard edge.
Play a lot of games and just kind of focus and think about my piece and kind of go over how my piece goes and really just focus in on the fact that I need to win this judge over if I want to do well.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For a complete list of Sitka and Mount Edgecombe finalists from the 2013 State DDF Meet, visit our website, kcaw.org. You'll also find a link to an earlier broadcast of an on-air debate between two of Sitka's top teams who tied for fourth place at this year's meet. The normally dry subject of committee referrals is creating a bit of a stir in the Capitol. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports.
Last week, a group of five senators introduced a resolution to amend the Alaska Constitution to allow for a school voucher program. The measure was supposed to be heard in the Education Committee. That is, until it suddenly wasn't, as Senator Gary Stevens, a Republican from Kodiak and chair of the Education Committee, discovered while traveling in Kentucky on business.
I learned an important lesson last Friday. Never, never, never leave town.
No matter how calm and uneventful you think things will be in your absence, don't believe it. Stay in Juneau until the bitter end.
The voucher resolution was removed from his committee and will instead be heard in Judiciary and Finance. A similar resolution to strike language from the Constitution that prohibits direct funding of religious schools stalled in the Education Committee during the last legislature. During the Senate floor session on Tuesday, Stevens described the voucher question as the most momentous education issue that he had encountered during his years in the legislature. He also announced that he would hold hearings on the issue of vouchers, even if his committee wasn't processing the measure.
I don't know the answer to the question of whether vouchers will be good for Alaska or not good for Alaska, but we will do our best to find the right answer, without prejudice and without emotion, but with civility and respect for all opinions.
The legislature already held a hearing on education reform earlier this month, and the four experts invited to speak all advocated for vouchers. Stephen says he doesn't believe in bottling up legislation just because he doesn't support it.
I have no objection to the resolution being moving ahead, though I don't personally agree with it, and I would, if eventually it makes it to the ballot box, probably vote against it based on our constitutional principle of separation of church and state. You see, Mr. President, I really like the First Amendment to the Constitution. I like it a lot.
When talking about the constitutional question of funding religious schools, Stevens quoted James Madison to back up his position. He also cited Alaskan founding father Jack Coghill, former lieutenant governor and father of Senator John Coghill, a co-sponsor of the voucher resolution and the current judiciary chair. I stopped by the younger Coghill's office later that day to find out what he thought of the resolution. He jokes that he doesn't mind having his father's arguments used in opposition to his own, and when I ask him about the referral process, he gets up from his desk.
So let me get the Constitution real quick. Constitution says, no money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. That's the part that is to be amended out. So it's really, can money go for other purposes than what we're doing now?
Coghill, a Republican from Fairbanks, says that the way he sees the process going, the resolution would get consideration from the Judiciary and Finance Committees and then appear on the floors of the House and Senate. If 2/3 of the legislators voted for it, it would go to the ballot, where a majority of voters would need to approve it. Coghill says that if it passes and the legislature starts talking specifics on a voucher program, that's the obvious place for the Education Committee to jump in.
So what Senator Stevens is saying is accurate and probably one of the debates. But we can't even have that debate until we ask the people, can we have that debate? And he says it's unconstitutional. Well, he's right in that our Constitution now has that barrier.
Coghill also says he understands why Stevens would like the Education Committee to get involved in the debate sooner rather than later. Senate President Charlie Huggins, who made the move to skip education, has said the voucher resolution could once again be referred to education down the road. This isn't the first time this session that committee referrals have been questioned. Last week, Senate Democrats objected that a bill defining what qualifies as a medically necessary abortion was not referred to the Health and Human Services Committee, and that a measure concerning the development of a hydroelectric site in a state park was not directed to resources. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
Raven News reported earlier this month the FDA is considering approving genetically engineered, or GE, salmon to be sold in the U.S. Senator Mark Begich recently introduced two bills in the U.S. Senate that would ban these new salmon. And now the Alaska House of Representatives have come out against the engineered salmon, or as critics call it, frankenfish. Representatives unanimously approved House Joint Resolution 5 on Wednesday. It urges the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to reconsider a preliminary finding that genetically modified fish would not significantly impact the environment. The resolution also urges the agency to require labeling for GM salmon if the product is ultimately approved. The legislation was sponsored by Anchorage Democrat Jaron Tarr. She says genetically engineered fish have not been proven safe.
The resolution opposes this move for three reasons: threats to wild salmon stocks, threats to human health and consumer confidence in wild Alaska salmon, and potential negative economic impact on our wild seafood industry.
The House joins the Parnell administration, the state's congressional delegation, and thousands of Alaskans represented by seafood industry groups in opposing genetically modified fish. The resolution now goes to the state Senate. Massachusetts-based biotech company Aqua Bounty petitioned the FDA to approve the genetically engineered fish, an Atlantic salmon with genes from a Chinook salmon, and an eel-like fish to make it grow faster. The company has spent nearly $70 million since forming in 1991. The FDA recently extended the public comment period on Aqua Bounty's petition through April 26th. And this correction, in a story that aired Tuesday on Raven News, we incorrectly reported that a 51-year-old Sitka man, Stephen M. Kristovich, last week received a 2-year sentence for felony drunk driving. Kristovich actually received a sentence in January of 2011. His case was recently in court to change a term of his probation. Raven News regrets the error. The University of Alaska wants to know what skills young people will need for jobs connecting to commercial fishing. The university is surveying people in the industry and asking what skills the next generation should learn while in school. Surveys will go to fishermen, ship operators, vessel mechanics, marine researchers, and seafood processors. Paula Kullenberg of the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences states that surveys will ask what the future jobs will be and where the greatest needs are for training, internships, or apprenticeships. The university says information collected could be used to determine what courses it should offer. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Here's a look at Sitka's own weather. It's currently 37 degrees under overcast skies. Today, periods of rain in the morning and then rain in the afternoon. Highs around 41, south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain with lows around 35. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.